You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is Big Pump Pump, Scott Steiner, and you need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts.
What's going on, everybody? This is Kyle. Obviously, we've got Devin with us, and we've got another action-packed show all lined up for you. How you guys doing tonight?
I feel like you're making promises you can't deliver.
Well, I can deliver on all my promises, Randy. I promise.
I'm going to take my title to the SmackDown show, and I'm going to high till I can't no more.
Jesus, God, that was fucking hysterical. Man. If you haven't checked the R-Truth video out with him making the parody of Lil Nas song, you need to head over to our Twitter and check that out. Yeah, head over to our Titter.
Our Titter.
Not up. On the show with us, as you can see, we've got a guest with us. With us today, we've got Jesse Bazzi, fresh off his win in Chicago for Bellator. How you doing, brother?
Yes, sir.
Oh, doing well, man. Pleasure to be here.
Don't lie.
Damn, our own producer is just on one today, coming for us, man, for real. Like, he's coming to, like,
he's
fuck
throwing
us up.
Shade, man. He's
for real.
Shade. Hey, I think we need to start bringing in snacks and, like, alcoholic popcorn
we need
for
the,
Randy and
we
stuff.
We need the alcohol so we can get drunk Randy back, and then you guys are really going to see an entertaining show.
We got to bring adult Capri Suns and alcohol popcorn.
Hey, we need some more of that popcorn that chick had, tasting that Red Ciroc berry popcorn, tasting like crunch berries and that Hennessy popcorn. Dog. Man, give me some of that shit, and we're ready to go. But as we mentioned, you just fought for Bellator and against a pretty good opponent here. You know, give us your thoughts on the fight, man. It looked like you won, you know, pretty handily, good decision.
Yes, he did, because I was there.
Yeah. I feel like I won every exchange, damn near every moment of the fight. He was a really good fighter, seasoned fighter. He had like 15 plus fights under his belt. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and that's where he wanted it to
go.
Didn't
he train with Curran?
Yeah, because
I've heard of that guy.
That's before. The gym he's at, Curran Jiu-Jitsu, mm-hmm. out there in Illinois.
I thought he looked familiar because I'd seen him on Curran's Instagram a few times. Well, tell me a little bit. You know, you fought for LFA before, so it's not the first time you fought on like a big company, but like, what were the big differences for you? And what was it like stepping up like Bellator like that?
Bellator was a big difference than any other show I've ever fought for. Yeah, LFA, they're really big and they're a feeder to the big shows as well. But going to Bellator, it was a whole new thing. Like, they were very professional with their itinerary. They ran on time with everything. I don't know. It was just really good fighting for them. You know, everything was professional.
Did you feel any, like, extra jitters or, like, any extra nervousness with it being a little bit bigger caliber fight?
No, not really. Everyone leading up to this fight, everyone kept saying, like, take advantage of this. You got to seize the moment, blah, blah. And I was just out there trying to fight for myself, not really think about that. And then, honestly, when I was going out there, I was like, damn, this is a big arena. But I was like, oh, it's pretty early. It wasn't really packed at the moment. And then I just got back in the fight mode.
Yeah, that was with the second fight on the card, I believe.
Yeah, it was the second one.
Yeah, so once again, I was there, and that was my first.
What's the bell?
So the bell is whenever one of us, you know, humble brags about we went somewhere, or we was there for that, or I know this person, you know, we ring the bell.
Okay.
So, yeah, once again, I was there.
I love how you've been getting the bell like so much lately, because I hate that fucking thing at this point. All right? Now you get your equal dose.
Yeah, but
it's just nice.
Hey, I accept it, man. I'm, you know, making moves out here. I'm watching my man Jesse Bazzi get his first win in Bellator, man. But you were talking about the arena. Me and Kyle have been there for for Money in the Bank last year. Walking out there, seeing that crowd. Even though it wasn't, you know, that packed. But what was it like coming out through that curtain, walking down that rampway? You know, were you still trying to focus in, or did you try to take it a moment in at the same time? Or what was going through your head when you were walking out?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, I was still looking like, yeah, this is a big arena. And then I just looked at the cage, and it's a canvas with some gate around it, and I've been there plenty of times.
I like that answer.
I like that, man. But, you know... Tell me about the arena, man. Like, was the crowd any different? And I asked that because, like Devin said, we went there for Money in the Bank. And, like, with it being a smaller arena and the wooden ceiling, man, that crowd, when they get loud as shit in there. So, yeah. Like, was that any different for you? And how much could you notice that in the cage?
I mean, I couldn't notice it much. I mean, like I said, the crowd wasn't too big when I was there, but honestly, what did surprise me about the crowd is I was going to his, like, home state. I know he's not far out from Chicago or Rosemont, wherever we were.
Yeah, Rosemont.
And I felt like more people were cheering for me than him. I don't know if it was because of the performance or, right. or what, but...
And I'm very, very loud.
Yeah. See, they all think I'm the loud one. He's just as loud as I am. He just plays it off better.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about the actual fight, man. One thing that I definitely noticed was that you were attacking the hell out of his leg, man. Like, his leg, from where I was sitting, it looked like it was about to start turning black and purple and stuff like that, man. So, basically, was that something you saw ahead of time? Like, hey, I got to chop the legs off of this guy?
Not so much the legs, but I just wanted to work my kicks more in general. My last fight, I didn't really kick at all. And my coach, Darren, he was telling me I need to mix it up more. And I do way better when I mix it up, when I'm changing levels and stuff with my striking. And that's just what I found more was the leg, because he wanted to take it to the ground. So I didn't really want to kick anywhere above his waist, but I did. I got a few body shots on him, too.
Definitely. Yeah, it looked like you were definitely out there changing levels on him, man. He basically kept him guessing the whole time, man. And if I'm not mistaken, you won every round, I think? Or was it 2-1?
No, it was unanimous, but yeah.
So what did you think of your work, man?
I was really pleased with it. You know, like I said, I feel like I won the whole fight. I just kept attacking. I just stayed in front of him the whole time, and I kept something in his face. I wasn't trying to sit there and move around or nothing.
Yeah, that's a good job, man. You got the job done, man.
Did it bring any changes into your camp, like with this being a little bit bigger fight? Because, I mean, as mentioned in the promo for the episode, I mean, you're over there training at Top Team. You've got Darren's getting ready to fight and rising again. You've got Cody's been doing his thing for a minute. You know, you're in there with
he's got a fight coming up, what, the 22nd,
yeah.
I believe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're all high-caliber guys. You know, like, does you getting your first shot in Bellator change your camp at all? And, like, how did you feel with the camp as a whole?
Not really. I just got a little more aggressive during sparring, but other than that, everything pretty much stayed the same. I mean, I was still only doing 3 rounds, so I didn't have to change anything in the cardio. But yeah, it's real exciting training with these guys when they have fights coming up too, because they want to win, I want to win, everyone wants to win, you know, during training.
Yeah, we kind of asked this question to all you guys from MTT. We've had Muneeb, Mo on the show, plenty of other guys.
Kenny Cross.
So what does it mean to train with the guys from MTT? You got, you know, Cody Stamann, who's in the UFC right now. You got Darren, who's been there and done that. You know, a lot of guys that have been at different promotions up and down. What is it like for you, you know, working with those guys that's been there and done that?
Well, it's an honor. It's a pleasure. And really, I'm blessed to be able to train with guys who are skilled like this, guys who we can all help build each other. We can all learn from each other. And we're teaching the younger guys, too. And it's just, I don't know, it's really great being able to be around people like this.
So after that fight, you know, I mean, what's next for you? Did they give you any word on you coming back to Bellator? Like, are you trying to stay with them? Like, are you still going to be fighting regional? Like, what's next for you?
Yeah, I'd love to fight for them again, but no, they didn't say anything. I mean, I've been talking to a couple of the guys who work for them, and they really don't know what's going on with the flyweight division, which I'm in, gotcha. And that's what I'd like to pursue. So next, I don't know what I'm doing next exactly, but...
Is 1FC an option? Because we know they just absorbed UFC's flyweight division.
Yeah, I'd go there. I'd go to Risen. I'd fight for anyone, anywhere.
Gotcha.
So it actually kind of brings up a different question. You were talking about basically one absorbed UFC's flyweight division, even though they still have it technically. And it sounds like Bellator is kind of developing their flyweight division. So do you find it hard for yourself to find fights?
No, I get fight offers all the time. Like, I feel like I'm a real active flyweight. I mean, even other flyweights say that to me. They're like, man, you're always getting fights. And I am, like, people hit me up all the time to fight.
Oh, God. Uh-oh. According to Randy's face, I know who this is.
Guess who?
Tony Thunder. How the fuck are you?
That's me.
Tony motherfucking Thunder. How are you, sir?
Man, it's been a long time since I've been able to call in, Randy. Thank you.
I wasn't even here last week. Blame Dave, you know, the owner of the studio that lets you record here.
So I won't say nothing bad about Dave, so I'm going to just take it out on you.
So, Tony, I know you've been watching. You got any questions for our guest?
Were you ever aware that in Lincoln Park there's a strip club called Chicks on Dicks?
They were on Bar Rescue in 2015, and they've
that was the first strip club I ever been to. I was like really? 17 or something. I don't know.
Wait. They were on Bar Rescue?
Oh my God.
Oh wait, no. Is that the one?
They changed their name to the Power Strip.
Yeah. No. Actually, I've never been there. I was thinking of the one on Outer Drive and Dix. I don't know what that one was called.
I think he's talking about BT.
Next to the Fleazy Motel.
No. Yeah, it was next to a little shit motel, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow. I can't remember.
You know, the 7-Eleven right down the street from there always got robbed.
Yeah, no, Chicks on Dicks, I would never go to there. But, yeah, I've been by there plenty of times. I used to live down the street in Southwest Detroit.
I remember driving past there one time, and I'm like, that's got to be the worst name of a strip club ever, man. Like, what the fuck are you
Chicks
thinking?
Chicks on Dicks. It's spelled D-I-X, though.
Because the name of the street is Dicks Road.
Yeah.
So it's convenient that, you know,
so since
Dicks on Dicks Road.
And it's basically surrounded by, like, truck driving mechanic shops and stuff. So that's what they get. It's the truck drivers.
So since we talked about you growing up in Southwest, you know, tell us what got you into MMA in the first place, how you got there, you know, like, what sparked you even wanting to fight?
Honestly, one of my friends, he joined a gym that was founded in Southwest Detroit, and he just invited me there. We used to mess around in, like, street box and stuff like that, and he thought I was good. He invited me there, and I liked it, and I just kind of stuck with it.
How'd you end up over at MTT?
Well, the gym I was at after that gym that started in Southwest, they was closing and, well, relocating, and then a new owner was opening and changing the name, and a bunch of stuff was going on, and I was just looking to find a for sure home and be a Michigan top team. I mean, I knew a few guys from there already, because when Darren got back from the Ultimate Fighter, him and his guys, they would come to the gym I was at once a week. So I started getting cool with them, and I've just ventured off to there.
That kind of seems like just the story of the Michigan scene. Like, one, if you're around enough, you pretty much, like, know everybody. Honestly, that's, like, the foundation of, like, how this show even started. Because I told Devin that. I said, dude, I'm telling you, like, in Michigan, it's
real tight-knit.
It's real tight-knit. Like, once you've been in a while enough to where everybody knows, you know most people that are around. And then all that you see at that point becomes the new guys that come in.
Right.
So that's I don't know. I mean, for me, I think that does the Michigan scene good in a lot of ways.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, most of us support each other, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and that's one thing I don't think you see everywhere else, like, you know, obviously like a Vegas, a Cali, a stuff like that. Like, I feel like, and it's the same even in the wrestling scene, like, you see that a lot, like, when, you know, somebody will get signed or something like that, you know, like, I just feel like because it's more close-knit, it kind of lends to that.
So what you think about the new location of MTT?
Oh, I like it, man. It's a lot bigger. We got way more equipment, way more mat space. It's cleaner. The last place didn't have good ventilation, so it was like a fucking smelled
heat
like
box.
A gym. Yeah. It smelled like a real gym.
Yeah, we recorded our very first show there at MTT, man.
We did with Mo and Manib right in the
at the new one or the
at the old one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we went up there on like it was like a Saturday or something. They were just sparring or something. It was like the three. You actually, matter of fact, he was supposed to be on that show, remember? And then he couldn't make it that day.
Yeah, I remember.
It was supposed It was supposed to be him, Mo, and Manib. And then he couldn't make it, so it ended up just being Mo and Manib.
Yeah, because they didn't tell me until, like, last minute. I think until that day.
Here we go, well, 85 episodes later.
It kind of worked out. Right. We finally got you on the show, man.
It was like, fuck this guy.
No, because well, let me tell you how I got kind of introduced to, you know, hearing about you from this guy. You know, the whole time, you know, like you said, we were supposed to have you on that show. But, I mean, I didn't know anybody. The only person I knew that was there was Darren Crowshank. So we interviewed Mo and Manib, and they were great. You know, we've had them on the show plenty of times. And the whole time, Kyle was just like, we got to get Jesse on the show. We got to get Jesse on the show. I'm like, yeah, I mean, yeah, he could definitely do the show, but, you know, make it happen. So
I was trying to do that. That was kind of the idea.
All right, so I guess, you know, you kind of like, you know, big timing us for a while, which is cool.
Oh, got him.
But no, but then I was planning on going out to Chicago anyway for that fight because I was a big fan of MVP and plus Jax.
Can we talk about that shit for 1 second? Like, holy God, that I haven't seen somebody get cleaned the fuck out like that in a minute. Because that was so slick. The way he took his legs out and then just mollywopped his ass.
But let's talk about it. Because after your fight, you know, we met up with you and Cody, and we came over where you guys were sitting, and we were watching that. And, yeah, I did not see that one coming.
Yeah, nobody seen that coming. That probably wasn't in the betting odds, you know.
No. Fuck no, it wasn't. I mean, don't get me wrong. Lima used to be their champ, too. So it's not like he's a scrub by any means. But they've been building MVP like he's supposed to be like the second coming. Right. And then for him to just get cleaned out, I'm sure Scott Coker was shitting his bricks like, oh, fuck.
And like literally, like before the fight started, I'm talking to you and Cody like, hey, so how long before the UFC picks this guy up, man? Right. I was like, yeah, I bet you Dana's got his eyes on him right now. Oh, he just got knocked the fuck out. Okay.
Fast.
Man, so you being a fighter, man, what did you see? What happened in that fight, man? What mistakes did MVP make? What did Douglas Lima do right? What did you see?
I mean, it's hard to say he makes mistakes because, I mean, he was clowning like always, but he's been successful doing that.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. You know, he takes the fights lightly and he just moves fluidly, but it works out most of the time, and this time it didn't.
So
and Lima, he jumped on it. As soon as he dropped him with the leg kick, he just fucking uppercutted him from back door.
I didn't realize what happened. I thought MVP was trying to come in for a Superman punch and missed. And then when I saw the replay, I'm like, oh, he chopped the shit out of your leg, son.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he let you land in a bad spot. And it's like, there's nothing you can do at that point, man, because you were right there in the strike zone, man.
I mean, they said he talked about that, too, about landing them leg kicks, and I think it was a good game plan because, I mean,
he can't move like that if his legs are torn.
Well, he can't move like that, and he's got real slim legs, you know, like, so there's not much there.
Well, let me ask your opinion on this because Devin and I have talked about this with multiple other fighters that have come on. Like, I've always said it, like, don't get me wrong. A guy like MVP is obviously fun to watch for obvious reasons. But at the same time, I've always hated that kind of style. Even when it was Anderson Silva doing it, because I trained with Kara and Showtime and all those guys too. And like the one thing they're always preaching, keep your fucking hands up.
Yeah.
And like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there's not a time and place to try things here and there. But that's why I've never been a big fan of that kind of style, just because shit like that happens. So what are your thoughts on somebody like that that's maybe a little bit extra flashy or flamboyant or something like that?
I don't know. I love watching like Nate Diaz fight. I love when he's talking shit.
But he's got clean boxing still, though. Even with that, he might fuck around a little bit, but if he actually keeps his hands up and fights like he can fight.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't mind it, but I don't, if somebody's doing it to me, it'll piss me off. So
but you think that's like part of the plan, though? Like,
oh, that's definitely part of the plan.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the whole plan.
Because you missed. And then you start getting frustrated and get yourself out of your game.
All you got to do is watch Anderson Silva and Forrest Griffin.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Like, definitely.
He fucking had his hands down, stuck his head out, stuck back, and knocked him the fuck out. Like,
but I guess the thing is that when someone finally does catch you and knock you the fuck out, it's... it's almost like it's heightened because it's like, oh, yeah, you doing all that silly shit. Now you got knocked the fuck out. What are you going to do now?
See, most people, I mean, you might say you didn't really care for the Anderson style or whatever, but most people loved it.
Oh, no, I love to watch it. I only mean from a pure, like, just when you fuck around, you take the chance of getting caught.
Yeah, and then when Weidman knocked him out, everyone's like, he's trash. He's got a glass chin and stuff. I don't know.
That's why I say that. Like, it only takes one.
Yeah. Well, let's get Mr. Thunder involved in here, man. On that on that same card, man, we had Jake. Is it Jake Hager? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, Jake Hager, better known to us wrestling fans as Jack Swagger. Tony, did you get a chance to watch his fight, man?
I seen a little bit of it. I seen highlights. I didn't really get to see the whole card like that, though.
Okay. Okay.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see.
Well, Tony, I'm gonna ask you, man. What do you think about kind of the cross? I'm gonna ask you too, Jesse. But Tony, what did you think about the crossover between wrestling and MMA? It seems like the line's starting to get blurred even more right now. For someone that's a wrestler, what do you think?
I think every sport is a work. That's just me personally. But as far as wrestling and MMA, there's definitely similarities that people always try to find between the two. Originally, it was boxing and MMA.
Right.
That was the similar thing. And then it just became pro wrestling with the entrance music and, you know, all of that and stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of wrestling aspects in every sport. You know, the color commentary, the fireworks, the pyro, the entertainment aspect to it. It's sports entertainment, you know.
Right.
As far as MMA guys jumping ship to wrestling and wrestling guys jumping ship to MMA, like I said, the lines are blurred because it's kind of one and the same. Pro wrestling is a art in its own form. And, you know, if you learn the basic of pro wrestling correctly, you could break somebody's shoulder out of socket with a hammer lock. Like, we use hammer locks as well. We use wrist locks, and our takedown game is similar to what you would learn in martial arts.
Jesse, you watch wrestling at all, man? If so, like, what do you think about, you know, wrestling guys coming over into MMA or MMA guys jumping over to pro wrestling?
I haven't watched wrestling much since, like, middle school, but I used to watch it every, you know, Monday and Thursday, I think.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know. But what do I think about it? I think everyone needs to try to make money however they can, you know. And sometimes people make more in wrestling, and then rarely people make more in MMA, man. But
wait, did you get a chance to watch Jake's fight?
I've seen the ending. I think I was trying to find my seat, and I seen the ending, and he got him in an arm triangle, and he held onto it like after he was tapping. I don't know. He seemed like a douche.
Yeah. So what? Yeah. I was gonna ask you, what did you think about that? Because he got the crowd started booing the hell out of him after that.
Yeah. They was booing.
And basically, he was saying that.
Okay, but since you were there, was it something where the referee got in there late or something like that? Because I was hearing a lot of the referee didn't like stop it.
No, what did you think?
No, the ref, like, when the ref touches you, if you have someone in submission, that means the guy's tapping or whatever and stop, and he touched him. And then even he's like trying to pull him off, and the guy is still holding on.
Yeah, he literally had to like push Swagger.
Yeah,
he Jake.
You might as well, because he's coming to AEW soon.
Oh, he's still not going by Jack Swagger though. But yeah, he literally had to push Jake off of him, like, get the fuck off of him. And he almost like reprimanded him like a little kid, like, the fuck are you doing? Get off of him.
So I promise I won't go into a big long rant about it, but here's my only problem with Jack Swagger, Jake Hager, whatever you want to call it. Dude, there's no way that you can deny the fact that the guy's got natural ability. Now, maybe not on the same level, but on the same scale as like a Brock Lesnar thing, only because he wrestled at Oklahoma. He was, you know, he was in the NCAA, you know, tournament a few times. You know, the guy's a legitimate athlete. So I expected him to do well.
But
here's my thing. In Bellator, at times, they always have been kind of criticized for this. I feel like if you watch his first fight, holy shit, that guy was more excited to get in the fucking cage than he was to walk out. He was more excited to walk out than he did shit in the cage. The guy got in the cage, had his arms up and spinning all over the place, got beat in a minute. This guy, they put him in there, same deal. You know, I just want to see them start putting him in there with somebody that can legitimately do something about what he's doing. Because I'm not even going to lie, no disrespect to either one of them, because if you step in the cage, dude, you've got to sit.
Well, but they're bringing him in to make some money, so they want him to
They want him to look good, sure.
Yeah, they want him to gain some fans or whatever, some credibility or something.
Sure.
And well,
but do you think it fucks up Bellator, though, by having him fight like straight turd balls, though?
Yeah, that guy he fought, it was a mismatch for sure. I mean,
so was the last one.
He looked like he came off the couch.
They said the guy works in like a, and not that there's anything wrong with working and fighting.
You look like
your
producer.
Wait, you know what? Wait. No, you're joking. But when I saw him come out, I'm like, does Randy have a cousin or something that fights in MMA?
Randy's just like, what? How did I get brought into this?
but no, to me, it makes sense, man. Like, if anything, they probably should have did, UFC should probably did this with CM Punk, man. Have him fight.
They tried to do that.
they did.
Except for, Mickey Gall was.
Well, Mickey Gall, no, but.
The second guy. Again, no disrespect to the dude, but I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
But Mickey Gall was like.
He was a no name to them, but he had skills.
But he had a low record, so they was probably like, yeah, let's go for it. I think he was like,
he came in on one. Yeah, he only had a couple fights because he came in off that Dana White looking for a fight thing.
Yeah.
Because Shortstack fought on that card too.
Yeah, he didn't do so well, I don't think.
Who's Shortstack?
Josh Robinson. He fought around here for a long time. He's in North Carolina, but he's fought a lot of big name guys and stuff like that, and a lot of big promotions and stuff.
Okay. I don't know why you said Shortstack.
You were hoping that there was going to be a story. No, that's just legitimately what they call the guy.
I started thinking Hot Hands, man. I'm like, yeah, maybe it's a story.
Let's not talk about that.
Do you know Hot Hands?
No, what's Hot Hands?
No. Let's not.
We'll talk about that after the show. Kyle, you got? Oh, Tony, you got a question, man?
Yeah, who will win a slap fight between Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King?
He stumped him.
Jesse?
Who's throwing the first slap?
That's the question, too, so.
Uh-oh.
it's a draw. It's a stalemate.
So, you mentioned...
I think they'll get like one slap in and afterwards.
I'm tired.
No, they're probably like, why are we doing this, man? We need to hug it out and then, you know, change the world. How about that? Go ahead, Kyle.
So you mentioned when we were talking about the crossover between wrestling and MMA that you watched wrestling up till middle school. You know, like, what was some of the stuff you watched as a kid? Did you have a favorite? Is there a favorite match?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my two favorite guys had to be The Rock and Stone Cold. Almost like anybody else. favorite matches. I used to like the real brutal ones, like Hell in a Cell and stuff like that, man.
Yeah, that's not a bad pick. Please tell me that you watched the Mick Foley one as a kid.
I think I did, but it's so vague. I was so young.
I hear you.
I mean, I've seen him several times.
I feel like the 90s was like, again, as we all, I mean, anyone that listens and watches wrestling knows, but like, I feel like everybody at some point, at least even if it was only once, was watching Stone Cold or some type of variation of that shit.
Man, to some degree. So I feel like everybody that watched wrestling, you know, coming up kind of has like the same story. It's like you're watching it, you know, until you get about, you know, high school, maybe mm-hmm. college. And then for some reason, you just stop watching wrestling. So around what time did you stop watching it, and you know why you stopped watching it? Did you have like a reason, or it was just
found out it was fake?
Yeah. Says the guy that
lied
wrestling.
To me. They deceived me my whole childhood. I was putting socks in people's mouths. I thought I was badass. No, nothing really happened. I just started doing other things. I really stopped watching TV for a while, and then when I got back into TV, I just started watching movies mainly.
Okay. What's your favorite movie?
Now or ever? I don't know.
Either or.
Right now, Endgame's in my head just because it was the most recent really good movie that I've seen. I'm just a big, like, Marvel fan, MCU fan. Uh-oh.
Still, you've opened the can of worms.
Still got me in my feels right now. I'm sorry.
The ending of that got everybody in their feels, unless you're a heartless son of a bitch.
Which part?
The whole thing. Dude, like I said, it just, I don't know, man. some of the guys that were watching it in that movie theater, we'll just leave
Wait,
it at that.
Did I tell you who I watched that movie with?
No.
Well, it was like three, I guess you would say, celebrities there. One, it was Marielle Liu.
Oh,
from,
yeah, you did.
From Fox 2 News. Referee Rick from, you know, the area. And then former WWE superstar Zach Gowen. I was sitting right next to these guys, man. Didn't even realize until the lights came on. I'm like, oh, what's up, Rick? What's up, Zach Gowen? What's up?
You consider Rick a celebrity? No offense, Rick, but
he's a local.
Randy is just getting. If it's not going to be at Tony, somebody's catching these shots.
So I guess we're sort of like E-list celebrities. So
consider yourself a celebrity?
Hell no.
Wait. So here's what's funny about that.
Somebody spotted you in Vegas.
No, like three people recognized me in Vegas. Like, hey, don't you have a podcast? Don't you have a podcast? And like when I went to the bank before I left. Dude, like, was looking at me, and I'm going to ask you this, too, because we had, like, a situation in Chicago with this. But I'm walking into the bank, and this guy's looking at me, and, like, he looks angry. And I'm like, okay. So I go get my money, and I come back. He's like, dude, do you have a podcast? I'm like, yeah. Like, oh, okay, man. I was trying to figure out who you were when you came in. But, like, he looked so angry that he couldn't figure out who I was that it kind of, like, you know, had me kind of standoffish. But when we was in Chicago – we were walking to the seats. Someone recognized Cody.
Yeah, yeah.
And
a few people.
Yeah, but like it seemed like people get angry at you, but it's like it's not that they're angry at you. It's just that I know this guy from somewhere, but yeah, I don't know where.
They just start squinting, and they're like, "Man, yeah, I know this guy." Yeah.
Yeah. So, have you had that happen to you yet, man?
Oh, no. I mean, I've had people recognize me, but not really in a. Angry way. I don't know.
Or like a random, like you're at the grocery store and someone just looks at you like, I know
most people don't really look at me like that. I mean, not like to sound big headed, but most people don't want to give me that kind of look. I don't know.
I'm normally
I'm normally the guy who's looking like that. I'm walking around like I just have a stale face when I'm walking around. I don't know why. It's just what I got.
Cop. Oh my God, dude. So outside of fighting, man, you know, like I know you work at a tire shop, stuff like that, man. Like
No, I don't work there anymore. I do like home renovation and stuff, yeah.
Cool. All right. So like what do you like to do in your free time outside fighting? Or are you all just training, work and
Well, I got a 6-year-old, his birthday's today. I just came from his party. We had a little get together friends from school and stuff. And then I got
happy birthday, little dude.
Yeah, and then another little boy on the way, and then a wife and a house and two dogs, so a lot of time goes
Plate's
into
pretty
that.
Full.
Yeah, a lot of time goes into that. And then when I can, I like to play video games and play basketball and then hang out with friends and stuff. Yeah.
What games are you into?
You know, that one that adults don't like. Fortnite, I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
And then I bought that Days Gone. That's pretty sweet, but I've only played like 3 hours worth of it so far, but it's really good so far.
I can fuck with Fortnite. I play that too. Yeah. Xbox or PS4?
PS4.
Oh, fuck you.
Okay. PS4 is the best.
Right.
I know I'm going to buy one, but.
Hey, man, if you could headbutt anybody in the chest right now, who would it be?
If you could headbutt anybody in the chest.
Chris Cyborg.
Wow.
No.
Devin wanted to, too, but differently.
I did not say that. That is not what I said. Screw it. We'll talk about it. So I met Cyborg this weekend when I was in Vegas. And she was cool as hell, man. She gave me an autograph, which I wasn't supposed to get. Took a picture with her. And I was saying, like, you know, people, she gets like a bad rap. They say she's kind of, you know, looks like a dude.
Don't say this on here.
It's a little too late now. Man. But no, like. And
she got a strong chin.
Yeah, but like. She actually is. She looks pretty good, man. When she puts, you know, makeup on, she's pretty
cute.
Did
you tell her to come on the show though?
Huh?
Did?
Huh?
Yeah.
we'll talk about that off.
We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that.
How do you feel about Trish Stratus?
So okay.
Oh my God, Jesse will know who that is. So you got to hear the story about Trish Stratus.
Wait, but here's what's funny. I met Lita this weekend. Bam.
Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
But now we need to go into why you hate Trish Stratus.
Man, so, first of all, let me just say, fuck Trish Stratus. Now, secondly, so when I was, I want to say like 14, 15, I was in Atlanta visiting my sister, so we go to Six Flags, right? WWE was, well, I think it was WWF at the time. They were in Atlanta for that same weekend. So we're at Six Flags, and Trish Stratus is there signing autographs. So I'm like, I tell my little sister, like, we got to go get an autograph from Trish Stratus. You know, it's Trish fucking Stratus, man, one of my favorites, right? So I'm in a line. Waiting all day, probably about a good hour and a half. Finally get up there. I get my little autograph from Trish. I'm like, Trish, can I have a hug? She said, no. So ever since then, fuck Trish.
Now, mind
it
you,
it felt racial to me. I'm not going. I'm not.
And had a full grown beard at the time. He also had a
did you look like
too.
A grown man?
So hell yeah, he did.
Man, just asking for a hug.
Okay.
So.
Well, no. I had a baby face, but I was like 6'1", 6'2" at the time, so
that probably had a good.
But I'm just saying, man. I felt
you
like
you
still
had a Kango.
Dude. Oh my god. I gotta.
No, I did not have a Kango. But I'm not saying she racist. I just felt it was racial. That's all.
So was.
I gotta be racial.
Did you see her hug a white 14-year-old?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, she hugged some other kid. I'm like, well, shit, I'm going to hug
okay,
too.
Okay, but how big was said kid?
But look, man, look. I am larger than a lot of human beings, man. I can't do anything about that. That's just the way I was born, man. Shit.
Okay, but if you were a female and it looks like a 6'2" tall like dude that could be fucking 30.
No, go ahead and say what you want to say, Kyle. A 6'2" black dude.
It has nothing to do with it.
Say it, Kyle.
It has nothing to do with you being black.
No. I'm saying say it because that's what she was thinking.
I was going to say that wasn't even where I was going with it. What the fuck?
I'm not saying she racist, but it was racial.
I was like, wait a minute. I wasn't trying to be racial out of this. What the fuck?
But hashtag fuck Trish Stratus, man.
Dallas is king. He looked like the kid from Jerry Maguire.
Oh, no joke. Okay, and we can and if you want to throw shots, you're damn right. And one time I stopped the whole plane, told them motherfuckers I was, because my mom kept making fun of me about it. I said, fine, you want to keep making fun of it? Somebody walked by, you know you look like the kid from Jerry Maguire. Yeah, that's right. You might have seen me and Jerry Maguire, and the whole plane, including the pilot, stopped when we went to California. And let me tell you, did I get the – if looks could kill, I'd have been dead. There wouldn't have been a podcast.
Did you get any free snacks because of this?
No, but I felt pretty fucking cool because I didn't really think they were going to actually stop. But.
Here you go. Oh, man.
Jesse, who do people say you look like, if any celebrities do? Oh, people shit. Say you look like anybody?
No, not really.
Wait, I'm trying to think, man. Like, I can't really think of anybody.
No, I don't know. I look like my
I've own. Heard I look like anybody that's light-skinned and famous.
Terrence Howard? Have you heard that one before?
Actually, I have.
Maybe like two years ago,
I made a post that I went through and found all the fucking people say I look like. Even random motherfuckers like Carl Thomas and Malcolm X and shit. It's like, if you light-skinned and you famous, I look like you. So
Malcolm X?
I've heard that.
I was going to say, I don't see Malcolm X, though. Terrence Howard made more sense than that.
I don't see none of them motherfuckers
though.
They say I look like.
So let's get back to the fight game, man. Like, who are guys that – do you tend to like to watch, you know, 125 fights, or are you, like, all fights as a whole? Like, who are guys that you watch?
I mean, yeah, I like watching any talented guy, really, but mainly – lately, I haven't been watching much because of the ESPN stuff. Like, I don't enjoy watching it on the app. And sometimes when I try to stream it to my TV, I don't get good signal and stuff. It's hard to watch, but I watch any of the really big cards. Like, I'll go hang out with some friends and watch them. And I just like watching anyone who's talented.
Who was there anybody in particular that, like, made you, like, want to start fighting? Or did you start fighting before you ever even really watched
the sport? I started fighting before I really watched it. I mean, I've seen some episodes of like Tough, and I've seen some UFC cards, but I didn't really know who anyone was. Like my third fight, I was 2-0 as an amateur. In my third fight, I was going to fight this guy, and he got pulled, and they was like, yeah, you're fighting this guy, Jose Aldo, and stuff, blah, blah. I was like, oh, all right. Who's that? Where's he at right now? And then, I'm like, I didn't know who the guy was. Like, they was just joking with me.
Dude, that guy, you know, not that I thought he was big, because you know he's not a huge dude by any means. Right. But when he was here in Detroit, dude, I just expected him to be bigger, though. Because, like, I'm short as fuck. And
this is true. Yes.
Like, I mean, I'm short as fuck, and we were about the same height. So I feel like the height on the UFC thing lies, because he was not that much. He was not that much taller than me. I mean, I'm just saying.
Max Holloway, he looked like he was pretty big, though.
He's tall as shit.
Yeah, I think
he was there. He was there that day too, and he's definitely I'd say 6'1" is probably close.
I think that's what they bill him as. He's probably pretty close to that.
He's close to it. I don't know about Aldo though.
So, wait, I think I just figured out what quote-unquote celebrity you look like. So, does everybody remember?
How'd you figure this out?
I was just looking. I'm like, I think I got it. You guys remember Jail Bay? It's like a – okay.
Is this like Salt Bay, but
– yeah, it was like some dude – he had got like arrested, and his mugshot was all over social media, and all the women was like, "Oh my god!"
Oh no, I don't look like that guy.
He's like, no, wait a minute, fuck you.
He's a good looking guy, but I don't.
Wait a minute, fuck you. No, I don't look like. Wait,
no, no. I know who you're talking about. He had a bunch of tattoos. And,
yeah, yeah, just yeah. Without the tattoos on the face, man. Just a little bit, man. That's the only one I could come up with. I'm sorry.
Hell yeah, I look like a model.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it's a good story. He's like modeling now, man. He turned his life around. So yeah.
Yeah.
So man, with you fighting in Chicago for Bellator, and you know, Michigan as a whole, like the Michigan MMA. Scene, I feel like, has seen like a good growth here in a little last couple years, especially with, you know, WXC having the UFC fight pass thing. You know, you've got Bobby that went to the UFC, Darren went to the UFC, Miles, so on and so forth. You know, what's your thoughts on the Michigan scene as a whole now that you've got, you know, Cody doing his thing in UFC, Darren's in Rising, you know, you just did your thing with Bellator, you know. I mean, and we've seen multiple other guys been getting shots lately, too.
ABC. Well as,
yeah. ABC, Jared Brooks, you know. I mean, literally, the list could go on. You know, tell me your thoughts on it.
I think it's grown a lot as well. I mean, it's only been a few years since we became sanctioned. And like you said, we've got a few guys who've been in UFC or who are in UFC. I mean, Cody, he's a top 10 guy in the world. And then we got guys who's constantly getting looks from the other big organizations like Risen and what's his name, Brett Martin's going to LFA,
yep,
fighting in a big tournament and stuff, and then Bellator, and then another Michigan guy was supposed to be on Bellator as well. It's definitely growing. Every year I feel like somebody's going somewhere big, doing something different, you know.
So what's your thoughts on, oh my god.
No. I'm sorry.
Contact.
I got the same scar and everything, man. Look at that.
Dog, my man looks like he seriously does got straight up contacts in. That shit doesn't look real at all. But
I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
How do you respond to those? Like, you know, you hear it a lot in MMA about people talking about the need to train at like big camps and stuff like that. You being somebody that trains at MTT, which while it's one of the bigger gyms here, you know, it's not maybe necessarily on the same radar as, you know, an Alliance or, you know, Jackson's or anywhere else you want to name, you know, tell me what your thoughts are on the statement, oh, you got to train at a big gym with high level guys.
I think it helps a little bit, but then some of these big gyms, they got so many people, it's hard to focus on them and like promote them and get them where they need to be. I feel like you can do this at any gym. I mean, you know, there's guys who have fought in a town in the middle of nowhere and they're making it to the UFC. Like that, I forget the guy's name who's in the UFC, and he was like, I want some camo shorts, and he's from like Arkansas or somewhere, some little hole, I don't know,
I'm trying to remember,
but he's in the UFC doing well now. They gave him them camo shorts. I don't feel like you need that, but it does help to know people. Sometimes you'll be at that point where you're ready to go and you need that connection, but not always.
Do you have any dream opponents?
Not really. I'll just always fight anyone. I like fighting guys who are better than me, though.
I like that.
Well, you kind of talked about gyms. What do you think about cross training? So like if you went over to, I don't know, Alliance or trained there for like a fight for a little while, is that like a frowned upon thing as far as like the gym, your gym, like would they frown on you if you went over and worked for a little bit for a fight, or is that pretty much cool with everybody as long as you come back home?
No, they don't mind it. I mean, you know, we're not going anywhere, and we're like for good, and we're just helping people out, or we're getting help. Like right now, Cody, he's out at I forget how to say it, but I think it's Factory X Muay Thai out in Colorado. He's been there for like a week now. He might be there for another couple weeks just sharpening some tools, you know?
Okay.
And then I go to other places and I spar other guys, and so do other people. Some of our guys go to like boxing gyms and stuff and get some work in.
Do you feel like you need that? Like instead of, you know, punching the same guys in the face you see every day, you think you need that experience working with somebody else, just like new
like,
fresh eyes?
Like me personally, yeah, I don't, I mean, like the guys I train with, they're all great and stuff, but sometimes, like, I get tired of, like, hitting them and stuff. Like, I don't, I mean, not that I can beat them up.
I get tired of hitting
not
them,
that I can beat them up or nothing, but I just, I don't want to, like, I don't want to hurt them or hurt their careers or nothing. And them the same to other people, to me and other fighters. Like, we don't want to hurt each other.
And plus, you kind of get familiar with each other, too. Yeah.
So sometimes it's good to go spar somebody who you don't really care about. You know? I mean, not that you got to go be a dick, but.
Right, right.
You get some really hard rounds in.
Can I just say, I find it, like, very interesting, like, the dynamic of MMA fighters. It's like, you guys literally punch each other in the face, like, daily. But then you cool about it afterwards. And then it's like, I don't know. I guess, like, growing up, if I got into a fight with somebody, I'm not going to, like, give them a hug afterwards, man. I've always found that very, very interesting.
I mean, I don't know about you, Jesse, but to me, man, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like, you train with somebody, and you guys beat the shit out of each other every day, and for some reason, it just makes you, like, cool like that. Because you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's, like, yeah, a respect
even,
thing.
Even or... some guys who, like, fight each other, they don't train together, and they'll fight, and then after a fight, you'll see them getting drinks together, and then they're friendly and they're cross training afterwards and stuff, you know. Right.
I feel like it's kind of hard, like, I guess on a guy that you fought range, because I've had it with a guy that he beat me and I was totally cool with him afterward, because you can't.
Hey, Kyle, you fought before?
Fuck you. But you can't I knew that was coming. Anyway, like, dude, you can't not respect a guy after that. Like, at least if you guys fight and it goes back and forth, like, it's hard not to come out of that respecting somebody. And as far as teammates, man, like, how can you have a closer friend than a guy who's essentially preparing you to go into battle? Like, he's next to you, getting you ready to go fight another man.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of hard not to, you know, grow that bond. And it's a different bond that you have with that than you do, like...
Just saying, from the outside looking in, it's kind of weird, but... I you know, the more and more I've been around fighters, I'm starting to understand it a little bit more, but I don't think I'll ever understand unless I actually do it.
Yeah, I've seen,
which is not going to happen.
I think at the Bellator event, these guys, they were, like, hugging after and stuff, and then, like, somebody in the crowd is yelling, "Why don't you kiss?" or something like that, but, like, they just, like, not everybody understands, like, that you just went through something and you have, I don't know, something so rare and common, and then you poured your heart into this fight, and you guys right. just respect each other enough to hug or whatever, you know?
It kind of brings up another question, and we ran a short on time. So after you fought, you sat in the crowd, you know, you listening to the crowd. What are your thoughts on, like, crowd reactions, man? Because, so, you know, when guys are on the ground grappling, people start booing, like, "Boo, what are you doing?" Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. Or it's always someone yelling to knock him out or kick his ass, see bash. You always get, you know, those typical fan, you know, things that they do.
The annoying motherfuckers.
So, yeah, as a fighter, man, like, what is it like, you know, listening to these people when you're not actually in the ring and you hear them, you know, saying these...
Most of the time I'm just like, yeah, these people are just dumb and they don't know one thing about fighting. And it can be a lot of stuff going on, like a really good grappling exchange, but right. it could be real boring to them and they just don't know what's going on. I just think, like, they're just... uneducated on this. They don't know nothing. And then sometimes I'm just like, these guys are fucking stupid, and they start making me mad. Like
like the ones that call Kara a bimbo at every heel because she's in the cage, not knowing that even in heels she'd probably knock the motherfucker out cold.
Right.
Just saying.
Like, I was at the UFC event in Detroit, and...
You get a bell.
So were we. Oh, shit.
Bells for everybody.
Bells all around.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And, I can't even remember. Who was the flyweight matchup? It was Pettis, right?
Yeah, it was Sergio Pettis and...
Cejudo?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yep.
Pettis and Cejudo.
Wow, I don't even remember that one, man.
And everyone's booing and...
too much Vegas fun.
Yeah. Everyone's booing and they're... And then this guy, he's like 20 feet away from me. He's talking shit, like saying, like, "Get these kids out of here, like, because we're small guys and stuff like that."
Right.
And I'm just thinking, like, I'm one of these kids and I'll beat the fuck out of you. Like,
I mean, dude, you would think in 2019, the same with wrestling, with as much as people know about MMA and boxing and stuff, like, because they know a lot more now, just like they do with wrestling.
Right.
And it's crazy to me. Like, these people watch fights and I'm like, do you really think that it's like a fucking video game when you go in there? Like, let me just tap X and I'm gonna punch this motherfucker in the face. It don't work. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Some of these guys probably go to the shows every weekend or watch fights all the time and nothing changes about them. Like, they're still some educated guy.
So that being said, are there any crazy stories from any of your fights, whether it be amateur, whether it be pro? Because I know the Michigan amateur scene has got plenty of stories that I could tell.
As far as like...
like just funny shit that happens at a fight or crazy shit that you wouldn't expect.
I don't know. I've seen a lot.
I can think of the one that...
I mean, it's pretty funny when guys come there and they don't have like cups and mouthpieces and stuff. Like, I've seen that pretty often.
Or gym shorts.
Yeah. I've fought in basketball shorts before. For sure.
Did you win?
Yeah.
That's all that matters, though. But I bet you probably didn't call yourself a street fighting specialist, though.
No, I didn't.
What?
Dude, that was like a fucking thing. Like, literally, you would go to fights, and there'd be two guys that'd come in gym shorts, and they'd be like, so-and-so's got a record of fucking 33-20.
Training
and,
out of my basement.
Yeah, like, training out of, and they would always just say the city, and then he'd be like, and he's a street fighting specialist. And then all that would happen is said,
you get
street fighting specialist would get put on his back and choked in about a minute.
Sort of like a James Lights Out Tony, I guess, Couture.
Randy Couture. Yeah. That was hard to watch. I like Tony.
I like Tony, too. I'm talking about Tony motherfucking Thunder. You over there, man?
Looks like he's not.
Tony? Did we lose Tony? Oh, okay.
Yeah, we lost Tony.
Oh, well.
Tony doesn't love us anymore
either. Rip Tony.
But any last questions, man? We got
to. No, other than that, man, I mean, we're getting to the end of the show. I mean, you know, you've mentioned that you'd like to fight for Bellator. You know, is there anything next on the horizon? And
besides,
you know,
having another kid, congratulations. Yeah,
that too.
Oh, thank you, thank you. No, next, I mean, the baby's due end of July. If I could squeeze in another fight before then, I would, but...
Damn it. Anyway, now that Tony's back on the line, finish your thought, Jesse.
Yeah, if I can squeeze in another fight before then, I will, but I can't get too close to it, and I like to be in shape, so we're cutting it close now, so I got to get something either at the end of June or first week of July. So, I mean, I've been talking to a couple of promotions, but nothing solid yet.
Okay.
Tony, see you on that Lights Out card?
Honestly, I don't think so. I think they're booked like on the pro side.
Gotcha. Tony, any last questions for our guest?
Oh no, I just want to apologize. At the last second, I got a phone call and then I clicked over and it hung up. It was actually Amanda Bobby Cooper, and unfortunately, we don't have.
We'll tell you about that off the air. We'll tell you about that.
On
the
show recently, we go try to make it up to him.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate you.
We'll tell you about that off the air. Devin, what about you? Any last questions for our guest?
No, man. Just I like I say is like one. I really enjoyed your fight, man. In Chicago.
Whoa, guy, you're trying to fight the microphone now?
No, it was a fly, man.
Too much podcast juice, bro.
Yeah, too much Vegas juice. but no, really enjoyed seeing you fight live in Bellator, man. Congratulations to you on. Making it to that level, and I just hope,
definitely.
I just wish nothing but the best for you, man. I get to see you more on Bellator, and hope to see you again, man.
Hopefully Scott Coker, listen to the fucking episode. You need to get this guy back on your cards.
And let's get another show here in Detroit. Bam.
Yeah, I'm totally down with that. Yeah, did you go to the one that was here?
Yeah, I went to the one here. I can't even remember what venue it was at.
It was at Compact or CompuWare. Because Fisher and Herbie fought.
That's why when I was initially going to fight for Bellator, I wasn't sure if they was really going to be a big show like that. Because at that show, towards the end of the night, they pulled the crowd from the stands onto the floor because they didn't do so well with tickets on the floor. So I was like, man, they're like any other show around here or something, you know. But then I went there, and it was a fucking huge show, like lockdown security.
Yeah, it got different management from
back then.
Would
you say
you
think it depends on, like, I've noticed it kind of depends on the card, though. It depends on, like, who's on the card.
Yeah, I was on one of their biggest cards, too.
Yeah, MVP.
So that could have been it.
Definitely. Chandler was on there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was another big surprise fight.
Yeah,
like the way that one ended.
I've always been a big fan of Chandler too, man.
Yeah, it didn't go too well.
I saw that. Well, before we get out of here, man, throw your social medias out. Let people know where they can find you. And hopefully we see you back in the cage soon.
Oh, and plug the gym too, man.
The gym. Social media is Facebook, Jesse R. Bozzi, Instagram, JBozzi125. And then my gym, Michigan Top Team. You know, we're like a family. It's a great gym. Some of the best coaches in the Midwest and in Michigan.
Definitely. Mr. Thunder, why don't you go ahead and
that's me.
Let the people know what you got coming up, man, and throw your socials out there.
I'm Tony Thunder everywhere. I don't know. If you really want to look for me, just look for me. I'm Tony Thunder. I'm sure you'll find me. But don't follow the drummer, Tony Thunder Smith. That's not me.
Hey, shout out to Darren that just followed us.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Shout out to people following us. Yeah, I got stuff coming up. I forgot. I got a birthday coming up, if I can remember what day it is. Shout out to my mother and my father for not using the condom. It's 2019, man. Happy New Year.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, Tony.
That's me.
I love you, man.
I love you too, bro.
Devin, what about you?
Yeah, y'all know my social media, man. Just go to KL3C Pod and you can find all of it. But
Sizzle.
Yes, definitely. All state, no sizzle.
Do you know how many people, when I've went to people to try to get interviews for this, they don't even never remember you by their first name? Like, Don didn't remember you by your first name either. He goes, all steak, no sizzle?
Yeah. Mabato calls me all steak, no sizzle every now and again, man. But, yeah, but guys, make sure you listen to or you watch our Facebook Live 11:05 for the rest of the week. I'm going to be talking about my experience in Vegas with AEW.
And we could have an episode all about that real soon.
Definitely. But we're going to talk about StarCast and AEW, my weekend in Vegas, man. 11:05 every day. I do it on my lunch break. So I get on there for about 10 to 15 minutes, however much time I got, and talk about, you know, whatever subject. So this week is going to be all AEW and StarCast. So stay tuned.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout. Make sure you're following the show at KO3C Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Knockouts and Three Counts on Facebook. Just go to KO3CPod.com, like Devin was talking about. Shout out to Randy for that. All our episodes, Booker T, Eric Bischoff, Bruce Pritchard, Sam Alvey, all of them, all on the website. Check it out.
Oh, shout out to
Fuck Your Couch.
Shout out to Brandon.
Damn it, Tony. Yeah.
Should have never gave you niggas money.
He didn't even know why Tony was saying it. That's the best.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
You know what?
So I totally stole that from Dave Chappelle. That's become like my bit at the end of the show. But that just made it awesome. Fuck that.
You know what? Forget what I was going to say, man. Jesse, any last words for the people, man?
No. Just look out for what's coming next for me, man. Join the train, man.
All righty. Kyle, why don't you go ahead and send us out, man?
Fuck your couch. That's it. We're done.
Till next
end of story.
Till next time. Peace.